A reading from Luke 12, 49-53. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Now, if you have a worldview that is sympathetic with the current truisms running around, this is actually going to be appalling to you to read this, because it's so contrary to the Jesus that we're often taught about, who brings peace. But here you have dissension, and you have conflict, and you have a family disintegrating before your eyes. And the question that has to come up is, why is Jesus saying this? And how is what he is saying, how does that conform to the entire biblical narrative going back to the first book?
I think you capture an important thought here, is that when there's a scripture declaration which comes out in such a strong form, almost like a hyperbole, an overstatement, you've got to ask what's going on. Because Jesus is prophesied to be the Prince of Peace in the Old Testament. When the angels come at his birth and make the announcement, they declare peace and goodwill to all men. Paul tells us later that one of the privileges of being in the family of God is that we don't have to be anxious, but we can have a peace that passes all understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when you consider those passages which talk about a life without anxiety, what's going on here? I think Jesus is pointing to what are going to be the realistic results when you follow him as Savior and Lord. There are going to be people that are going to turn against you, and he's a realist. He doesn't want to set up a false dynamic. In following him, he doesn't say, come follow me and your life will be great. He says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and come follow me. He says, as I was rejected, you are going to be rejected. Even in his Beatitudes, which we take great comfort in, as being this unusual teaching, he basically is saying, blessing's going to come out of the things that we didn't expect, being persecuted, having people come against us, and loving our enemies. And so what Jesus is saying here is, the end result of this, in the end, is going to be you will be rejected by other people. There will be division in your families if you hold me to be Savior and Lord.
That's in John 17, which is Jesus' last prayer for his disciples. He also brings this up, that the world will stand in opposition to you. And in the third or fourth chapter of Mark, his own family comes to get him because the people are saying, he's nuts, he's insane, and then they come to take care of him, his own family. So it actually was happening in his own life. And he says of the town he was from that in his own town, the prophet is without honor. He says it a little differently than that, but that's what he is saying. So there's a reality to this, not only for Jesus, but for all who will follow him through all time, because the world, God is moving in the direction of redemption. It happens one person at a time, and the entire world is not redeemed. And it will stand in opposition because it is a kingdom against the kingdom that God is planting here through Christ.
Well, Jesus says the student isn't above the teacher, and the servant isn't above the master. And he says, if these things happen to me, if rejection came to me, if people were divided because of me, the same thing is going to happen in your life.